Hey.
Welcome back to the Not So Super Mom podcast. I'm Nick.
And I'm Ange.
We are back and we are here to stay.
It's been a minute.
Yes.
Shit has been crazy.
Yes. And we're together today.
For the first time recording the podcast.
Woo! Woo! Ever,
yes.
We usually do this from our own houses. It's just easier with us having kids. For those of you who are new, or if you haven't been on in a while and you forgot who we are, but we do miss you.
Yes.
I'm Nick. I am a married stay-at-home mom of two kids. I am part of the LGBT community. I have been with Chris for 21 years, and that's it.
I'm Ange, and I have been with my husband. We've been married for 17 years. I have four kids. I am part of the straight community. That's about it. And, okay, so we have to talk about it today because this is a little bit of a difference of ours. But today is election day.
Yes, and we are different. So one of the reasons we started this podcast was because we wanted to show people that we could be different. Ange and I are different in a lot of ways. The biggest one is politically. She is riding the Trump train, and I'm trying to knock her off.
And Nikki is riding with Biden, and I'm hiding from Biden. Oh. So we are going to just put that out there for everybody.
So that's our biggest difference. So obviously we disagree on things that are involved in politics, but we are still best friends. It doesn't matter. We agree on the important things that allow you to remain friends. So
Right. We
appreciate your loyalty, you guys. Seriously, our goal for 2021 is to be able to actually put out a podcast once a week. We're not going to promise that right now just because the holidays are coming up, and that is our goal for 2021, yeah. And we'll make that happen. So, if you haven't voted today, go vote.
Yes.
Go vote. I mean, whoever you're voting for, I wish you would vote blue, but if whoever you're voting for.
Yes, and at the end of this election, as we come to an end of all this political agendas being thrown at our faces, we just hope that everybody can accept what the vote is and move forward. Let's work together.
Let's be American people, not Democrats and Republicans.
Use your voice.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes.
There we go.
So, one good thing about Election Day. We are not teachers today.
That is what allowed us to even be able to record in person today, is because we have no school.
Yes.
We're not teachers today.
We were so certain that they were not going to give us this day off because the kids were not in school in person. We were so excited to have a day off. So we got to sleep in a little bit. We got to actually hang out today. Do our podcast. We're so excited.
But Nikki voted earlier, but I voted today.
Yes.
And there was like six people ahead of me in line. It was nothing. It was awesome.
Yes. But with school.
Oh my God.
You guys, I'm sure most of you have at least done the virtual at the beginning of the year, at least in Michigan. We all did. I'm pretty sure most of us.
God bless us one and all.
Oh my gosh, I should not be a teacher. There's no reason. I don't have the patience. I'm not even going to lie. I wish I was better.
Becoming this stay-at-home mom/teacher, I have realized how much of my education I've lost over the years.
You ain't lying.
My fourth grader will call me in there for help, and it'll be a math problem. And I will get the dry erase board. I will copy that math problem down, pictures included, and walk it to my 12th grader and say, how do you do this?
That is right. And her 12th grader is like a math. He knows all math, okay?
So he will just grab the marker and do it, and then I walk back in there and pretend that I went and figured it out. Like, all right, look at me.
But if we have to help our high schoolers, that's literally what we have to do. We have to go Google how you're going to do it.
No
joke. You have to, okay, I need help with this problem. Okay, well, I don't know how to do that. I promise you, I didn't probably even learn, because I swear to goodness he was doing math in seventh grade that I was doing as a senior. So I'm really just, I don't know this. So you got to Google it. Okay, you go Google, then takes you to YouTube video and shows you how to do it. Then you got to go try to explain it. Well, here's the problem. If he don't understand it, then how I'm explaining it, I don't actually understand it. I'm just doing a really good job of acting, okay? I'm really just scripting what they said on this YouTube video. So then I'm like, you watch a YouTube video over and over and over again.
Throws you for a loop when they ask you a question that was not in the video. Well, yes. Hold on, son. Let me go think about that for a minute. And you go back to Google.
I know. I hate it. And then, like, the little, my, Angie has three others besides her senior, but I only have one other one. So I have a senior also, and I have a third grader. And let me tell you, okay, so he goes on with his teacher from 9 o'clock to 9:20 in the morning to do their attendance and hello, good morning, whatever, this is what we're going to do today. And then he's in group A, which means he immediately goes with his teacher still. So he's basically on from 9 to 10 o'clock with his teacher. And he's also on with his teacher from 1:45 until about 2:10. That's it. Rest of the day is my job. Literally planning the rest of the day is my job. There's about 4 or 5 assignments a day. Nothing that takes a significant amount of time. And I have to fill the rest of the day in because I can't just do that.
Yeah, the high schoolers are pretty much easy because they're on from pretty much 7:50 to 2:30, but they get breaks in between that. My fourth grader has a very similar schedule to Nikki's, but he goes on, he's on because he's also in group A. So he gets on at 9 and he gets off at about 10:05, and then he goes back on at 1 and he's on from anywhere from an hour and a half to 2 hours sometimes.
Right.
My kindergartner is 5 live meets a day, and then she usually has about a minimum of 8 assignments to do, sometimes 11 or 12 things that she has to do. So her day is pretty
They go hard on kindergarten. Yeah. In virtual school, they really do.
But I'm not really complaining because she is learning. You know what I mean?
For sure. I was worried about that at the beginning, that the education he was getting. I mean, I know even in the, you know, 6.5 hour school day, they're not getting 6.5 hours of instruction. But, like, if you add it all up, it's probably about 2.5-3 hours at least. And they're not even getting an hour now. Right. Well, mine's not even getting an hour now. And I do not know how to teach something different than the way I learned it. So, like, bundle in these tens and all. No, we carry, we borrow. That's how we do math around here, okay?
And it's not even just, like, the school part of it. It's, like, the mom part of it. Like, ugh. You still have to, like, I can't vacuum between these times because these classes are, and I don't have time to do this because this class starts at this time. And it's hard to even get the daily chores done because it sounds like such, like, a, oh, poor you. You know, you have to be there for your kids' education. It's not just that. It's you still have all your other responsibilities, plus these responsibilities that the schools are putting on you. Like, you have to go pick up supplies every other week between these certain times. And you need to go pick up, you know, you need to be there for your classes. And all your appointments and your day-to-day life is affected by their schedule.
Because it's not like you're homeschooling. Virtual school is a little different than homeschool because homeschool, you have a lot more freedom, I feel like. With virtual school, you have to be on when they tell you to be on, and you get off when they say it's time to be off, and then you have to do the assignments that they assign as well. But you can't go to the doctor at 10 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday because one of your kids has to be logged on. Right. I mean, if it's your older ones, okay, fine, whatever. But then for us, even though he's not on that much, you have to do enough work for their education to be equivalent to where they have to be next year. So even though I feel like personally the school's not giving him work that's going to get him ready for fourth grade, I have an account on teacherspayteachers.com and I will order stuff on there. And I'm like a teacher. I'm telling you, I know the teachers, and this is no negative towards a teacher. Y'all are doing a great job. I really appreciate you at 100%. I know it sounds like
I don't think I've ever appreciated teachers more.
No,
to be honest.
No, not at all. But it is, it's hard. This virtual learning is hard. It's mentally hard.
And it affects everything. It's not just the school, it's the extracurricular, it's the sports.
Yeah, oh yeah. And, you know, speaking of sports, so Derek plays three varsity sports in high school, and he plays football, and we thought football was going to be canceled, and then we thought football was going to be moved to the spring, and then they ended up playing. They played a short season. They only played six games, and everyone got to go to the playoffs, which was really awesome, but his last playoff game was Friday.
And his last playoff game, maybe forever.
Yes. He's not committed to a college right now. He is talking to two different coaches, but there is no guarantee of anything yet. So that was potentially his last football game ever. I mean, that to say that that was emotional is an understatement for both of us.
And for a lot of those kids.
Oh, yeah.
That's the final game.
There were 15 seniors on his team.
Oh, my God.
And eight of them... Derek's been playing with since he was 8 years old.
Wow.
So, I mean, I hugged literally every single one of those seniors as they were walking up the field. They were crying. I was crying. The moms were standing there crying. You know, some of these moms I really only see during football season and a couple times throughout the year, but we are family. Like, we have been together since our boys were 8 years old. It's literally how me and Angie met. Mm-hmm. And she is one of my best friends. Mm-hmm. Like, honest to God, we met. We were baseball moms. We just stand in there. We both also had littler kids, too. So, you know, our little boys are running around. We're chasing them. We can't even stand up by the rest of the parents because we got to be out here. And we just, you know, we just got close. Mm-hmm. And then...
Because that's what happens. It's not just the games. It's mm-mm. the practices. It's the team events. It's the bonding experiences that you go through. You know, the parents are out there suffering together in the freezing cold mm-hmm. and the blistering heat. You almost feel a pride for the kids that aren't yours yeah. because you have watched these kids grow up from 8 years old. You know, some younger than that for me. You know, my son started playing baseball a little bit before that, but you just watch these kids and you see them now and you're like, oh my God, they look like grown men.
Oh my, it's insane. It's insane. So Angie came to my house to do this podcast today and she brought her oldest son with her because obviously our boys are best friends. So they're hanging out and watching my little one while we do this, right? Mm-hmm. So he walks in the door and I see this kid all the time, but every single time it's like I have to do a double take. Like, is that, oh my God. I literally remember when he was like a rail thin and barely had his head above the counters in my kitchen. And now I'm like, hey, I need you to grab that bowl off the top, please. And he don't even have to climb on the counter.
It is crazy.
Yeah. And
it's the same for Derek because I just remember them being like running around the house and playing with toys
yeah.
still.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
And now it's like, yeah, can you lift that up for me?
Yeah.
Can you?
And now we're walking past their rooms like, language!
Right.
When they're raging over a video game.
Or even when I'm on the phone with you and I hear Derek in the background, it's like, wow, that sounds like a whole grown-ass man.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
a whole one.
Oh, he thinks he is sometimes. He really does.
So, and then your youngest plays football too. How's that going?
Yeah, he just actually made it to the state playoff game last Saturday,
blue.
Which changed all of our Halloween plans because we were supposed to go camping. But then if we would have went camping, we wouldn't have been able to go out there until after his practice on Thursday. And then we had Derek's game on Friday, and then he would have played Saturday morning. We would have been further away from home and everything we needed to go to and sleeping in our pop-up as opposed to sleeping in our beds and being closer. It just didn't make sense. So we had to cancel it. We ended up popping the pop-up in the backyard. So that worked. That was cool.
You played games and stuff too, didn't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We did a lot of fun stuff because his two little buddies, Peyton's two little buddies that live two doors down, are like his little best friends. They're moving on Sunday.
They're not just moving. They're not just like moving to a different city.
Yes. No, they're moving from Michigan to Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty sad. So we were supposed to take them on this camping trip. So because of that, we ended up popping our pop-up in the backyard and, you know, we carved our pumpkins and set them up in the backyard right in front of the camper. And, you know, we did end up going trick-or-treating. I did soak the candy. Don't judge me. I'm still doing that. But if you're in Michigan, our COVID numbers are going crazy. I'm just, you know, I was extra cautious.
Yeah. I think it changed Halloween for a lot of us this year. Yeah. COVID.
Yeah, you did different stuff too.
We didn't go trick-or-treating this year. I bought like 800 pieces of candy. Mm-hmm. And I, my oldest daughter and I made a homemade pinata.
Oh my God, it was so cute. It was a ghost. It was the cutest pinata.
We filled it and then we had them play like donut on a string game. And
oh, we did that one. Yep.
Yeah, you know, and then we went and we did go get pizza and we had like a little picnic in the car because I mean political thing here, you gotta start giving your name and number to restaurants here in Michigan now. Yes. If you go dine in. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, oh, I don't want to give him my name and number. It's just like, meh, if the numbers are on an uprise to the point to where they're starting to do that, maybe we just don't need to go dine in.
For
so
sure.
We brought some paper plates and we had a little picnic in the car. And
that's cute.
That was that.
Yeah. So Chris ended up, you know, Chris works in retail. So, you know, she does not have always the second Thursday off, or, you know, her schedule changes completely a lot, and then never a weekend off. So she had Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday off. So, you know, we got her home and we were able to do like family stuff together where she's not squeezing it in at the end of a 10-hour day, because she does it. She does it to be part of, you know, whatever the kids are doing, but she's exhausted most of the time. So she got to actually relax and do stuff. That was super, super, super fun. We're going to take a little intro. We will be right back. Oh, we're back. How you guys doing? Sorry about that. Okay, but we have to catch up. What's new with you?
I bought a gun. I bought myself a pistol.
Okay.
I took my CPL class, which was 8 hours of education. Mm-hmm. And I made an appointment to get my CPL, which my original appointment for the county that I live in was originally in July of 2021, but they just released some new ones, so I'll get it in January. I don't know if I really wanted to put that out there that I'll be carrying, but that might be the whole, like, you know, miss the point of concealed, but.
Right. But you kind of had a situation happen where carrying might have made you feel safer.
Yeah. You always think, like, certain things aren't going to happen to you, and you feel safe, like, you get into a routine, and you go to the same places at the same days at the same time, and you just feel safe about it. And my daughter and I go grocery shopping at the same day, same place, same time. And there was a situation to where we were in an aisle alone, and a man came up, and I guess he got close to me. I didn't notice it, and then took a few steps back, and he was just staring at us. And I seen my daughter, her eyes kind of shoot back there, and I turn around and he's just standing there staring at us like weirdly. And I thought maybe I was blocking the aisle. You know, oh, I'm sorry, do you need to get by? Yeah. And so I move my cart out of the way and he stops at our cart and he just stands there. And then I'm like, well, do you need something off of this shelf? And no. And he just walks away. And I said to my daughter, like, oh, that's creepy. Mm-hmm. So we walk from that section and we go to a different section on the other side of the main aisle. And that feeling that you're being watched.
Right.
I look over my shoulder and this guy is just standing in the main aisle staring at my daughter and I. And I'm like, okay, that's creepy. I'm like, well, I kind of would feel better if I had my gun on me right now.
Right,
but
right.
What can you do at this point? So I said, we're going to take a lap around the store. So we just take a quick little lap around the store, zigzagging around, and go over to the groceries. Like, let's get our groceries. Let's get the heck out of here. We're in the groceries, turn a corner. There he is, just standing, staring at us. And I'm not talking about, like, staring at us like, oh, like, I don't know, like someone catches your eye or something. It's a creepy-ass stare. At that point, I start making phone calls. And I'm like, my daughter's freaking out. She's crying. She wants to leave. I know you're not supposed to leave because, like, and at the same time, I feel like Okay, the meme on Facebook where the lady's like, you better pick up that can of green beans in the aisle, you know, and right. tell him to quit staring and following at you, you know, whatever. I know you're supposed to do that, but you don't want to make a scene if you feel like there's a chance you could be overreacting mm-hmm. still. But mm-hmm. I make a phone call to my father-in-law, and he's like, I'll be there. You know, he's like, oh, you're fine, you're fine. Well, he talks to my daughter. My daughter's bawling.
Right.
Scared. So he's like, I'm on my way. I'll be there in 10 minutes. In that 10 minutes, that guy had, like walked past our aisle staring about 10 times. Or not right. Wow, that was an exaggeration. That was 3 times. And it was just getting really, really creepy. So my father-in-law gets there, and he's like, come with me, Brianna. I want to see this guy. They find him in the clothing department, and as my father-in-law goes to walk up to him, there's an employee right there. They get the employee, and the guy starts following the employee and my daughter and my father-in-law around until security got there, and then he just picks up a shirt and walks to a self-scan and leaves. But it was just a crazy experience, and you get like this, like your heart starts pumping, adrenaline is going through your mm-hmm. body, and you think, I'm overreacting. And then you think, don't be stupid and think that you're overreacting because something couldn't happen to you right. in that situation. And I feel like in that moment, would I have felt safer to make a scene if I would have had protection on me? If I would have felt like I could have walked to my car with my daughter, and if anything did happen, at least I had a fighting chance.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
Yeah, that's understandable. I actually know someone who just had a very scary instance where I could see if they had a gun that they would, you know, potentially have been safer, but also an end result could have happened, a different end result. So I'm not the typical left, like, you shouldn't have guns, and, you know, I believe in the Second Amendment. I think that people are entitled to have weapons if they want to, and if you're lawfully carrying them, you know, I think Angie and I both agree that that there should be stricter gun, you know, stricter punishments for people who unlawfully carry guns, and maybe that would deter more of the bad guys and more mental health issues. You know, we absolutely agree in that area. But I feel like in the situation with my friend, her 21-year-old daughter was carjacked by 4 people, her and her boyfriend going to pick somebody up. One of their friends who needed them. They were carjacked, they were jumped, beat up, and their car was stolen by 4 guys. And, you know, this happened in a city where it's not predominantly known that it is, you know, necessarily a dangerous place to be. So, it, you know, I can see how being in a situation like that, somebody would feel safer if they had a gun, because if it was necessary to save your life, I guess, you know, you, but I feel like somebody in that situation would have shot, and maybe even with every right to, you know what I mean? But somebody could have lost their life.
They beat that girl up.
Yeah, oh yeah.
But they also beat up the 2 gentlemen that were with her.
100%. Yeah, they got one knocked out so bad that he was literally unconscious, and then they were able to have, like, they all attacked the other guy, and like she was trying. She's a scrapper though, man. I mean, but they beat her up pretty good, and it was that's scary. That is so scary. But I feel like in that situation, this is why I am obviously a more democratic when it comes to gun views, because I feel like in that situation, even though they probably had the right to shoot somebody because their life was in danger being jumped like that. They didn't have a weapon and they didn't shoot anybody, and nobody's dead. You know what I mean? The guy that got knocked out was knocked out. He got punched in the face and he was intoxicated. You know, the my friend's daughter is, I cried when I seen her. Okay. It was literally horrible, but she's alive. And I don't know if anyone would have had a gun in that situation, that somebody would have been dead. I mean, if I was, some 4 people were on top of me and I had a gun, I feel like I would shoot it in that instance. But thankfully not, because now everyone's alive. But I don't know. That's how I feel.
Yeah. And I feel like I would rather be strapped up. Right. So that if, you know, the mm-hmm. people that I with, I was with were getting knocked unconscious, mm-hmm. and there were four people attacking my loved one,
right,
my friend,
mm-hmm.
and they start coming for me. Mm-hmm. At that point, I mean, weapons don't have to be guns and knives. Weapons mm-hmm. can be your hands, and weapons can be vehicles and mm-hmm. other avenues, and they obviously had intention to take what they wanted to take at the cost that they were willing, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. whatever cost it was that they were willing to do. Mm-hmm. They luckily only did use their hands, but in that situation, would she not be beat up if she had a weapon?
No, probably not, but that's what I'm saying. Somebody would be dead. So, like, I don't think that that's okay what happened to her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that. It's taking human life is hard. And, you know, I know you enough to know mm-hmm. that you are a safe person that can have a CPO. Like, you're responsible. You wouldn't use it just because you were a little bit scared. Like, you would have to be in, you know, like, serious danger mm-hmm. before you're doing it. You don't want to hurt somebody. That's never your goal.
No.
You know what I mean? But there's people out there who not like that.
Because at the end of the day, even if you shoot somebody, your ass is going to jail.
Right,
going to jail for a minute. Yeah. Even if it's in self-defense.
Yes, yeah, for sure.
You're 100%. Going. You're going to have to deal with all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
Right, and then you hope your lawyer's better than theirs in court so you can... You know what I mean?
Right.
So they're not like... No, she was trying to protect property. Well, in Michigan, you can't do that.
Yeah.
So, like, you can do lots of other stuff, but...
But once they started hitting...
Uh-huh.
And knocking people unconscious...
Uh-huh.
I mean...
Yeah, that... I know. I mean, I get it.
And then maybe you don't have to shoot to kill in that situation. Maybe you shoot and injure someone, and it just scares people away enough
right.
to say, I need to get the hell out of this situation ASAP.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's scary. It's a crazy world right now. And I'll tell you what, you know, back to the election, not that we really even wanted to focus on this too much, but...
Right, but here we are.
Here we are. I'm telling you right now, I feel like at the end of the day, I'm nervous about tomorrow. I'm not going to lie. I feel like, you know, most of the protests, if not all of them, in and around our area were, you know, Detroit area. So they've been pretty peaceful. Nothing's been crazy. We ain't been on the news for riots and craziness like that. But people are going to go nuts. There's a reason they built that wall around the White House. Like, people are going to go nuts either side. And that's the part that scares me. Like, it doesn't matter how many cities you burn down and how hard you try to get at the White House, or you're not going to change the results.
Mm-hmm.
So why do we have to keep fighting like that's going to happen? It's not.
We've spent the last few years fighting.
Yeah.
We've spent it. We've done it. It has not done anything productive for our country and for us as citizens. It has made us divisive. I mean, okay, I get the reason why some of the protests turned to riots, but at the end of the day, the riots and the looting is just destructing your own community, and the people that you care about and are fighting for are living in a burnt down, run down city, and it's not changing anything at government level. It is not.
No, the riots are not okay.
It gives them ammunition. Is all it does.
I agree. The riots aren't okay. I think that, you know, there's crazy people in every group, you know, and, you know, I think that the majority of the people who are trying to protest are doing it the right way. And then you have these people show up and act like idiots and, you know, and then it just makes it look bad. There are places
boarding up.
Oh, around here.
Yeah.
We don't live in D.C.
Right.
We're not in the middle of a major city. You know what I mean? Like, the major cities is what they're saying is going to get crazy. You know, I live in a suburb of Detroit. I didn't think that was something I have to worry about. Like, I literally don't think I want to leave my house for a couple days. And I'm not one of these, like, oh, you're living in fear. No, but I'm not trying to have these crazy people out here who do not care about human life whatsoever. I don't want to be scared of them.
And we'll
right
do
now.
Something and call it in the name of protest.
Blah, blah. Right.
In the name of freedom of speech. And it's not. It's... when human life is getting disregarded in any way, it's not okay. It's mm-hmm. not okay on either which way you want to look at it. So yes. let's just be better after right. this election.
Be better.
Regardless, if Biden wins, that's hard for me to even say that.
Woo!
That's really hard for me to say in a sentence. But if he does, I would hope and pray that we Republicans can accept it and can grit our teeth, get through it, and work with his administration and just get some stuff done. And if we don't agree with it, speak up, peacefully protest, you know, let your voice be heard. And the same goes to the Democrats. If Trump is reelected,
oh, stop it.
Trump 2020. No. Make America great, baby.
Oh, my God. Hashtag dumb Trump. No.
Do not repeat the last few years. Don't.
No.
Don't.
It's
not. It's got
to
be better.
We have to be more bipartisan. We have to stop being Democrats and Republicans. But, oh, yeah.
It's hard.
We could it's go down gonna, a rabbit hole right now. We're not going to do that. We'll save that for another debate.
Yeah, because we really can. But there's no other time to debate. It's over.
Yeah.
It's over. Like, and that's just the point we're trying to make. Yeah. It doesn't matter what we say to you, our views, our points on it. It's no reason to even.
It's just over after yes. Today.
Let it
or
be
3
over.
Months from now. I don't know when they're done counting right. everything. It's over then, hopefully.
And accept it. Accept your fellow Americans' vote. Like, just do it.
Oh, yeah. This is why I wish it was just the popular vote. Because then that's literally just the vote. But then the electoral vote started.
So Nikki always says that they just need, like, a group of PTA moms there
yeah.
to get it done.
Yeah.
To get it done. Because it's just immaturity.
Listen, if
sides.
Me and Ange could create a cabinet, we could run this country. We could. We would be a little moody sometimes, and we don't agree. Mm-hmm. So we would have to meet in the middle of a lot of shit.
You gotta give to take.
Yeah.
On both sides. Can our government start doing that again, please?
Yep. Yep.
Please, people.
Yep. 150%.
Not to preach, but you know.
No, I hear you though. I hear you. Hey, can we talk about these kids, though?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Listen. Angie and I have seniors. I know we keep saying that because it's a hard year for us, okay? Bear with us. Bear with us. Okay, my kid, he wants to play sports in college, which is fine. Okay, we get a couple football coaches. He's talking to a wrestling coach. Okay, cool. I'm okay with that. All of those colleges are right here in Michigan. But he keeps getting these letters from all these other colleges uh-huh. offering him a chance to have a scholarship for football, and they're not here. And I would never, 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 never stop him from, you know, going to live his life and become who he's going to be. He will be great one day. He's an amazing kid and an awesome person. I know he will be wonderful. But listen to me, it heartache about thinking that your kid is not going to be, it's hard for me to even think about him not being in my house every night, knowing if he ate today, if his clothes
were
washed.
What he ate.
If, not even his clothes washed, that was a bad example. He can do all of that stuff. Yes, I do still do his laundry, but he knows how to do laundry, so judge all you want.
It's not being part of the daily life.
Yeah, it's just not knowing every single day. Like, were you in a good mood today? Was practice good today? Was, you know, whatever. And I know you have to let that go. I know that, and I'm okay with that.
But
no,
how?
I'm not okay with that.
No.
But I have to pretend to be okay with that.
I know.
And, like, he doesn't understand that worry, so I try to openly just express that to him. Like, when I let him go to a party and I'm not 100% comfortable, I will tell him, listen, I'm letting you go because I trust you, but I'm not comfortable with this. So I need you, you know, if I text you, text me back. Don't make me worry about you. And typically that works, but, like, you know, he's going to be 18 soon and some... Angie's son will be 18 in a couple months. earlier than mine, so she's feeling all of these things too.
I can't.
It's crazy. If you have young kids and people tell you, I know people say it all the time because I heard it all the time too. This goes so fast, take it in, enjoy it, blah, 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 blah. And listen, I don't mean that you can't be stressed out, because I hate when people say that. Like, oh, just take it in, or I wish I had that, or something. Like, I understand those situations. Like, I get it. You're still allowed to be frustrated or upset or, you know, annoyed or want to throw punch them.
Yeah. Like, yeah, drop
you,
kick.
Yeah, you can have bad days, but yeah.
The days are long, but the years are short.
Yes.
Because I'll tell you, it does not seem like it has been 18 years. Uh-uh. It doesn't even seem close to 18 years. And the fact that I do have a set of younger kids does definitely make me appreciate their stages a lot more. I wasn't like in as big of a rush to be like, oh, I can't wait till they walk and I can't wait till they talk. I was just soaking it in more because my son has gotten the colleges from other states, and I played the tuition is double when you're from out of state.
Right. Right.
You need to be aware of that situation, and you really need to focus on building your credit. You don't really want to be in like a ton of debt, you know? Mm-hmm. I feel like there would be a lot of positives that could come out of him living in another state that would be some good for him. It would force them to grow up
100%
a lot faster. 100%.
Both of our boys are very young-minded still. Mm. They're very much taken care of by their parents still. Angie and I were both at their ages. We had our driver's license and we had jobs and we were never home at that time. These guys, you know, they for different reasons, but they don't have their license yet. And her son has had a job, but Derek has never had a job, mostly because he goes to school and plays sports all mm-hmm. year. I don't make him work, but we were just different, and they're very... So I see what you're saying about if they went out of state for school and you weren't just an hour away, you know?
But at the same time, the mama bear in me...
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I want him close, you know? Yeah. And I'm even... if he's not going to go on a scholarship for something, or he doesn't have a scholarship, whatever, if that is the case, then, you know, hey, community college to get your prerequisites right. done before you go to a university.
Right.
Just because I feel like I'm not ready. I feel like that kindergarten video. Just I'm personally not ready. Like, I get he may be ready and he might just... want to leave, you know, and be on his own and be his own person, and that's totally fine.
Do you feel like he goes back and forth? Because let me tell you how I feel like Derek is. Derek is like, on one hand, he does not need me anymore, right? If I would just give him money, he knows how to do everything else, because he freaking knows everything, okay? The kid knows everything. He mm-hmm. says, you know, he don't need me for nothing. He just needs my money, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, on one hand, it's that. On the other hand, he's leaving for football practice, which he's been doing since he was 8 years old last week, okay? He's leaving for football practice. I said, I see him. He don't got shit in his hand. He don't got his bag. He don't got nothing. He's not carrying nothing. So I said, hey, don't forget your cleats and your mouth guard. And here he comes. Back in his room, comes out with his shit. Like, who's going to tell him to get his shit? He's going to go somewhere.
He's going to be like, oh, I'm a bad coach.
Yes. Yeah. So look, I literally like have said this to people, like, you know, I said this to his pediatrician, like I'm a little bit worried about that part. Like, you know, like his maturity, he has ADHD. So his maturity was always a little bit, this is what the doctor said. The doctor said, look, he's going to do that to himself a couple of times when it really sucks that he did that to himself. And that's how he's going to learn to not do that. And he'll start figuring out ways to make sure he doesn't do that, because he's going to either embarrass himself or whatever. And, you know, and I'll be honest with you, I have backed off quite a bit this year, because I don't want it to be like the rug was pulled out from underneath him as soon as he turns 18 and graduates. I want him to be, you know, start getting a little bit more independent now. So, you know, he does struggle with, you know, knowing when to send an email or whatever, but he's doing better. He is doing it. That doctor was right. It's almost like you have to let him fail. Mm-hmm. That's hard. That's mm-hmm. hard as a parent when you know that something you could do or say would make them be successful.
It is.
Yeah.
And that is a hard part. And it's hard letting go. Yeah. Like, even you saying, like, you know, they might not always make the choice that we want them to make.
Yeah.
But you can't be that parent that's like, no, you're going to listen to me.
Right. No,
for
sure.
Or I told you so. You just got to be there and be like, okay, well, what'd you learn from this situation?
Yes.
Type of.
And I even struggle, like, especially now at 17 when they're so close to being an adult, like, with the, you know, if my kids are ever in trouble, I want them to know that they can call me and they're not going to get in trouble. I don't want them to feel like they can't let me know what's going on in their life because a fear of ridicule or judgment or so. I just want them to be able to call me. In the same regard, I don't want them to take that as I'm giving you permission to act like a fool and call me with no questions asked. Now, ugh.
Okay. I mean, that's all great for the mushy shit, but let me tell you something that comes with these grown-ass men thinking that they're grown-ass men is that they got this sass-ass attitude sometimes.
Ooh.
Where I swear it's like,
ooh,
I feel like I'm about to fight my kid.
I know.
I feel like I want to fight
my
kid.
I know. And I'm telling you what, we have very respectful kids. I will say that I have run a lot without Angie here, and Derek is with Angie a lot without me there. They are respectful kids. They help whenever they you know, whatever. They're normal lazy teenagers, but like they do anything you ask them to. They're very respectful. They
just
you
might
know,
take them a minute, but
yeah,
they'll get there.
Yeah, but
I don't know
they
if that's like
sassy.
A men species thing or a teen species thing, where they'd be like, well, they'll get to it. You just don't know exactly.
Well, I don't know because I'm married to a woman, and that shit happens in my life too. But for real, the sass is strong on those ones.
It is.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's like the, you know, like, I tell Derek all the time, you used to be smart and know when to shut the fuck up.
Oh, my God.
Like, I don't know what happened, and you just think that you can keep talking. Like, I get that he's older, and I have always allowed my kids to respectfully tell me whatever they want. I do. I have always allowed that.
Mm-hmm.
To the point that, I mean, I've literally been in arguments with my mom because she thinks I let them disrespect me. No, my mom was one of those like, no, you ain't saying shit after I say something. There was no arguing. She wasn't explaining nothing. My mom was not that mom. Okay?
My mom was the mom that when she whooped you, because yes, my mom whooped me.
Yeah, mine too.
Statute of limitations is over. You can't call CPS. She was the syllable smacker.
100%. Yes.
She was like, don't ever do
okay,
that
but,
again.
Wait, my mom did the same shit, except she said fucking a lot.
Yeah,
that
oh,
was
yeah,
like
yeah.
Two extra syllables.
Yeah, three.
Do not fucking fuck.
Oh, yeah, two.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
That shit is
my
hilarious.
My mom did too. Yes.
Yes.
And let me tell you, I love my mom. Okay. But she put some ass whoopings on my brother and I growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like my younger sister didn't really get the wrath of that.
100%. But do your older kids feel like that about your younger kids? Because
I mean, maybe.
Derek 100% feels like Peyton gets whatever he doesn't get the same punishment.
Yeah. They
as
think
the
that the younger kids are definitely baby. But what I try to always tell them is like, you got treated the same way at their age. The same exact way. And now you have a problem with it because do you really want me to treat you like I'm treating the 9-year-old and the 5-year-old?
Yes.
Like, do you want those same little treatments? Because
That's
it comes
how
with some same restrictions.
Yep. That's how I feel. Like, you don't have a bedtime, man.
Right.
Like, okay, so chill out. Like, stop telling me. Yeah, he goes hard on me sometimes about that, but it is what it is. I mean, they got it when they were 8. They just don't remember it.
Mm-hmm.
And now our little kids are that age.
I know we are not the only moms. Okay, so they try to tell me that I have a favorite kid. And that, who they think is my favorite kid ain't even my favorite kid. Just kidding. They're all my favorite. I love them all equally. But it's funny to me when they try to really be like, oh, that's this and that's that. You're showing favoritism. And it's like, wow.
Yeah. Derek always just tells me that, like, oh my God, if I did that when I was blah, 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 then okay, no. And or Peyton will act a certain way and he'll go, oh my God, he's annoying. Like, listen, you were an annoying 8-year-old at some point too. You know, and Peyton's old enough now.
Let's be honest, they're annoying at 17 still. I mean, sometimes
too. Shit. Yeah. I know. The sass. I know we was talking about that. But the boy, I told you, he used to know when to stop.
Yeah.
Okay? That's his only problem in life right now. Mm-hmm. He don't know when to stop. Or when to start. Because sometimes I'll try to have a conversation with him, and he acts like he's a mime or something. He can't speak. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And then the only thing he does speak, it'd be like a smart ass something. Like, not you. Nope. So you should have just stayed quiet for that. Like, or I'll be like, stop it. That's enough. Oh, that's what I was saying earlier. See, we just get off and travel in these conversations. My mom thinks that I let them disrespect me because I allow them to speak their mind. But even though I allow them to speak their mind, they have to do it respectfully. And right. They have to do it with a respectful tone. And I get to a point where, like, I'm, okay, that's enough. Like, I've heard you. I don't agree with you. It's not changing what I said. But, okay, thank you. I'm done. And the end of story, whatever. That is the point for me that I need my kids to stop. Stop it. Stop talking now.
Right.
Walk away. I don't even really need you to say, okay, just go on away. Just and don't slam a door because Chris will take a door off the hinges. I swear to God. Don't even say nothing. Chris is a very silent, moving punisher. Like, when she deals with discipline, she never yells, ever. She never raises her voice. I, on the other hand, turn into Ursula from time to time. But she never raises her voice, but she just does crazy shit. Like, Derek slammed his door one day, and she just took the hinges off the door and put the door up.
Slam it now. Slam it now.
Now you can't slam anything. And he's like, how am I supposed to get dressed? And she's like, there's a bathroom right there. You know what I mean? Like, I have to give you a roof over your head, not privacy. If you're going to slam doors, I'm not fixing door jams because you got an anger issue.
My favorite thing that Chris did was when she left the Post-it notes. Do you remember that?
What one? She does that.
Okay. Something about you have, like, a sign where, like, cans go here or something, and someone left cans on the counter, and Derek, like, left a note.
That was fucking hilarious. Okay, so Derek has to clean up the kitchen sometimes. Well, we drink canned pop, okay?
Well, soda for anyone not in Michigan.
Right. So we dump the cans in the sink, and I typically rinse them out so that when I'm taking them back to the store, because we also get deposit here in Michigan. So when I'm taking them back, they're not all sticky. Well, anyways, he had to load the dishwasher one day, and he's doing all that, I come back into the kitchen to find a note that said, pop cans don't go here. So he got home from practice and school, and this is before Corona when they actually went to school.
Pre-2020.
And left all of his stuff on the floor. And Chris started putting notes on everything that said, this don't go here. This don't go here.
It was like his bag.
Yeah, his backpack.
Whatever.
Yep. It was his so coat, funny. His backpack. Like, all of his shit just drops off. Like, he's like...
Wasn't it to the point to where he was like, okay, I get it. Mm-hmm. Like, stop.
Yes.
Like, what? Right.
I'm just doing what you do. If you hear the dog in the background, that's Sophie. She's making her grand appearance today.
She wants to be a special guest.
Yes. Sorry. She's a hound dog. Well, no, she's a beagle. Sorry. Ugh. That is not coronavirus.
She's lying. I'm about to go get tested. She done had me come to her house, and she's coughing, y'all. I feel trapped.
That's Smoker Jackie. That's them Newports.
Smoker Jackie. That was a Mojo in the Morning reference if I ever heard one. Rest in peace, Smoker Jackie.
Yes.
All right. Anyways.
All right, guys. I think we're going to wrap this one up. We really are going to try to post once a week. Bear with us.
That's our goal for 2021. Yes. So it might not happen for the rest. I mean, we'll get some out for the rest of 2020, but it might not be every week. Just bear with us.
Please bear with us. Thank you so much for your loyalty. And you know, we have to end with, you might not be a supermom, but I have to put a reference out there because I follow this YouTuber named EJ Speaks. Shout out to her. She's awesome. If you don't follow her, go follow her. She's funny as fuck. Okay. Anyway, so this is her. This is her quote. I heard it on one of her YouTubes. You might not be a supermom if you stole all your kids' good candy this year. You just a regular mom. You
that's a Halloween tax. I feel like that's our right.
You just, if you took all the good candy, you just a regular mom. You're not a super mom. It's okay.
That's right. I find that perfectly acceptable.
That's right.
I must not be a super mom. Please remember to follow us on Facebook and Instagram and subscribe and like wherever you can, wherever you listen to podcasts. See you next time.
Bye.